Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Hey, it's time for a resolution check. How are you doing with your New Year's resolutions? Anybody? I heard on the radio today that on average, the day that you would quit your New Year's resolutions is January 12th, ironically, like today. Like, go out to lunch, eat what you want, I guess it's all good. But they did a study that for 2020, they really believed people were going to hold out another week. So some of you got a whole other week of dieting and exercise. But, you know, we talked about that last week, how you start this new year, you have all of these goals and these ambitions, you write this stuff out. And while most of that stuff is really good, like, you know, we want to be healthier. Some of us desperately need to be thinner. Some of us, you know, we look to be wealthier or happier in the new year. We said that while we will make those plans, all of those things are good, but none of those really add an ounce to our eternal quality of life. I'm talking about eternal quality of life. In fact, we're going to challenge you through this Daily Power series to think about different kinds of resolutions. Resolutions that might sound like this: to be stronger in faith or more confident in my faith journey. Resolutions that sound like I want to live more obedient. I want to have greater accuracy in my obedience to what the Spirit of God says. I want to walk in a better alignment with my talk. All of us know people who can talk a really good game but don't necessarily walk that talk. And so maybe your resolution is that you would walk in better alignment with that. That's kind of the focus of what we're dealing with over the course of this three-week series of Daily Power. I encourage you to grab that handout that you received at the door today and turn that over on the back and grab a pen or just prepare to listen for what the Spirit of God wants to show you today. If you open up the YouVersion Bible app you go to the events, all that instruction is in your handout today as well. You'll see that we have a live event, and it'll take you right there through the power of GPS. And so we just encourage you to follow along. We're going to be looking at some significant scriptures, and so those are all dialed up for you right here on this app, which makes that super handy. And I don't know, I like to see people reading the Word and just kind of engaging it in their own way. So I wanted to remind you about that. Last week, we kind of started this series by considering big versus small. We acknowledge that when we stand on the beginning of a new year, we think of all the big things that stand before us, it can feel quite overwhelming. But we challenge you to think about, not about the big things, but we challenge you to think about taking small, incremental, faithful steps of devotion toward Christ every day. And that if we take those small steps every day, what happens is those big things become more manageable. That if we set ourselves up to be people who will take those faithful little steps every day, we actually create this foundation that can look at the big questions of life and actually have confidence, and we can have answers. Some of those little steps we talked about were reading the Scripture every day or being people of prayer throughout the day. And you might remember some of those little reminders I gave you to kind of be prompted to think about how to pray or who to pray for. Most importantly, we talked about embodying the character of Christ with those you come in contact with, that can be some of the most important things we do. Well, this week we want to build off that idea of those small incremental steps of faithfulness and consider the unique way that God has wired each of you. I'll ask you a series of questions to help this come into better focus. Have you ever left work, for those of you who are employed, some of you are children, have you ever left school maybe, and you've just felt exhausted? You just felt like drained. You felt irritable. You felt just depressed. You felt like there's got to be more to life than this. I would imagine some of us at some point have felt that way. But if you're consistently feeling this way, I might challenge you to think that you might be working outside of your unique gift structure that God has given you. Likewise, you may leave your place of employment, or you may leave school, or you may leave whatever your daily activity is and feel so energized, so excited about tomorrow, so encouraged that you're annoying to everybody else you get to spend your day with. You're just so positive. I might encourage you to think about the reason you are that way is because you are living within this unique design that God has crafted you with. Now, before you all go quit and resign from your jobs, I want you to know that all of us will go through seasons where life is a struggle. All of us will go through periods of time where it just doesn't feel right to go to work. It just doesn't, you're just not enjoying it. There's a difference between just feeling drained for all of your life versus feeling drained through seasons of life. And I just want us to look today at a way that God has wired us. God has uniquely made each of us. Because what I want you to see is this: God has wired you like no one else. God has specifically wired you like no one else. We think about this physically, right? We've looked at this scientifically. We know that face recognition is accurate because there's no other face like you. And for me, I'm happy about that. There should only be one this way, right? That's a good thing. So the reality is we understand that physically, but I also want you to understand this spiritually, that there is a spiritual wiring in you, and it is unique to who you are. And God is counting on you to know it, to thrive within it, and to build His kingdom with it. Now, one other question I would like to ask you kind of in this direction. Have you ever had someone come up to you and they spoke positively about something that they observed of you? Maybe something that you spoke in a meeting or spoke somewhere, or something that they observed you doing. Sometimes the gifts and the talents that we have are blind to us, but other people can pick them out. Sometimes other people are quicker to identify the way God has wired us than we are ourselves. But this I believe to be true, that as a believer of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Christ, and I know not all of us here today are, but as a follower of Christ, there is a unique power available for us. This is the whole essence of why we call this series Daily Power. We want to tap into something that God has given us, but my gut feeling is that oftentimes that power available to us, that understanding available to us, goes untapped. And we choose to live within our human understanding, which is quite limiting, our human limitedness, instead of tapping into the unlimited power that God wants to thrive with us, to empower with us. So that's our goal. Let's talk about what the difference are between talents and gifts. I think it's pretty important to do this right at the very beginning. A talent is a natural or innate thing that you were born with. This is something that we can measure. This is something we can look at. Scientists have taught us that, you know, the genetic code is pretty powerful. Some of us love art, or we're gifted with visual design. Some of us are very good at science, or is very, very good at math. Some of us have a serious command of language, and even learning other languages just seems to flow so naturally. Some of us are athletic, where some of us are really good at building relationships. Some of us are very good at organization or administering the details. Some of us are good at, or don't mind even, public speaking. Those are things that you can look at a genetic code and say, man, that comes from this person. They gained that genetically through their family ties. That's a talent. But a gift is a little bit different. A gift is something that is Spirit-given. It's a Spirit-given ability that you could not possess without God's grace. God's grace is the critical part of this definition. God's grace is unmerited. You don't deserve it. And the gifts that God has given you are kind of undeserved as well. These are things like speaking words of wisdom, spiritual words of wisdom. These are those moments of being able to participate in acts of mercy or compassion or leadership. These are these moments where somehow, supernaturally, you're able to speak into the future, look into the future with wisdom. Sometimes it's a gift of healing, or to be able to pray for miracles. Sometimes it's just this ability of supernatural discernment. You don't understand how you're able to discern truth from lie, but you are. It's a gift that God has given you. And as you look over Scripture, especially in the New Testament, there are 20 different gifts that the Spirit gives us. And there are places in Scripture, we're going to look at a couple of them in a moment, where those gifts are listed. But I want you to know that's not an exhaustive list. Most theologians would look at that and say, those are starting points, but those aren't the only ways that God can gift you. As a matter of fact, he's very creative. And so God will gift us with the things that we need. So it's kind of interesting to me when I was thinking about the difference between talents and gifts, that where talents are measurable and we can understand that I'm a certain way because of a genetic code within me, I don't want you to think that that's limited to some scientific equation. As a matter of fact, the family you've been born into is a gift of God. The very day that you were living is a gift of God. Every breath that you breathe is a gift of God. So I believe that genetic code, that way that God has designed you through your family, is just as much a gift from God. God has given you some of those things. But the beauty is, one of the coolest parts of this whole thing is that God takes those innate qualities about you, those innate interests and likes, and he marriages them perfectly with a spiritual gift that he wants to give you. And when he does this, it gives you a very unique spiritual power. He gives you a very unique spiritual thumbprint on the ability to impact the world around you because of those the way that the talents and the gifts merge together. And to me, this builds off of last week's lesson when we were talking about our spiritual life is really the sum total of these small little acts of devotion. Well, when we do those small little acts of devotion coupled with in partnering with our talents and our gifts, God leads us to a very specific mission. So next Sunday, we're going to end this series by looking at mission. What is the mission that God has for each of us? But for today, we just want to kind of spend some time considering the gifts that God has given us. Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul is writing about the source of our gifts and the purpose of our gifts. We begin in verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same God. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. In other words, I'll stop right here for a moment. God is always at work in different ways with different people, but it is the same God, the one God, who is the source of all of that. Then verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. That's the purpose. Your spiritual gift is given to you so that you can help others. Verse 8, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives the one person power to perform miracles and the other the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Verse 11, so powerful. It is the one and only Spirit, then, who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift a person should have. So the source of our gift, of our spiritual gift, is the Spirit of God. He decides what to offer each person. But the purpose is to serve one another. I would argue this point. Learning the gift that God has given you and the talent that he's placed within you may be some of the most significant moments of self-awareness you could ever gain. To learn more about yourself, you need to understand how God has wired you specifically. As Paul says, this gift isn't about you. This gift that you've been given is not to build you up. In fact, your gift is to specifically help others. That's clear in verse 7. In other words, the way you're wired, once you learn it, once you understand it, is not about you. It has everything to do with building the kingdom. It has everything to do with serving others and putting that gift out there so that Christ may be seen more clearly as we serve others. Paul talks about it again in the letter he wrote to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And then he starts with seven different ifs right here. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. It's like if you recognize that God has given you a unique gift, He is imploring you. Paul is begging you. Do it with gladness. Just get involved and do it well. Paul is basically saying here that we become, as the gift of God unfolds in our life, we become the hands and the feet of Christ. We become the agents of God's service to our world. We become God's wisdom and God's encouragement to the people around us. We become the extension of God's generosity and of God's kindness to the people around us. Sometimes we pray, God, you know, bring someone kind into this situation or bring wisdom into this situation. He's like, I've already put you there. Like that you have been wired for those things. You pray for healing, and God's saying, I've already put you in a circumstance. I've already put you in an environment where that healing will take place. St. Teresa of Avila lived in the 16th century. She said it this way. I thought it was great wisdom. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on this earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which He looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which He walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which He blesses the world. St. Teresa was on to something here. There's a beautiful picture that when we understand our talent, when we understand our gift, the way that God has wired us uniquely, that we become the very hands and feet of Christ for those gifts to be manifest to the world. So your gift really isn't an option. Your gift really isn't up to you. It's mission critical. Flourishing in your life spiritually is really the most human thing you could ever do. We love to separate. This is kind of human things and this is spiritual things. But I'll tell you, it's all merged together. If you want to become the most human you've ever been, learn to thrive within God's Spirit. Accept by faith that His love for you and walk in forgiveness and walk in salvation and then allow the Spirit of God to lead you with your giftedness. That will make you more human than you could ever imagine when you merge those two together. Can you imagine how different this world would be? How different your world could look and feel if you came to an understanding that your primary role in this life wasn't to teach, it wasn't to do more paperwork, it wasn't to sell more product, but it was to allow your gift, your talents to be used so that the world would see Jesus through you? What if you came to a place of understanding that your primary purpose in this life was not to have a bigger house or a bigger paycheck or better cars? Your primary purpose in this life was not to have all the right clothing or to talk all the right way. What if you understood to the point that your primary purpose in this life was not the title that goes in front of or behind your name, but the primary purpose in your life was to allow the talent and the gifts that God has given you to flow through you to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers, to the students in the classroom next to you, or the students in the cafeteria across from you? What if we got to the place where we understood that our primary purpose in this life was not our job, but the primary purpose in this life was to allow the talents and the gifts that God has uniquely given to us to be unleashed on the world around us so that everyone we come in contact with would see Jesus in us? This, I believe, is our primary purpose in this life. Peter is the apostle I connect with so well because he is so well known for putting his foot directly in his mouth. And I do that all the time. He's written a couple of letters that are in the New Testament. In his first letter, he says this: God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. I love that picture. This great variety of what God wants to offer us. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do it with all the strength and the energy that God supplies. And I love this part of this verse. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Everything you do, when you're flourishing in the center of your gifts and your talents, then everything you do brings glory to God through Jesus Christ. because you're living exactly the way he designed you to live. I was curious how Peter was putting this all together, so I was able to look at some of the Greek words. I've got this cool app that Mike showed me. I had a look at some of the Greek words. Four of them just jumped off the page for me. This idea that God has given is a really interesting thing, because it's not like God is just like giving it to you and you're unaware. The Greek word for given here is lambano, and it means to take one's control, to take ownership of. This is not an idea that you've got a gift somewhere that you don't know about. It's an idea that God has given you this gift and you possess it. It is yours. But God has given each of you, this phrase, each of you, is a Greek word, hekastos, which means every single person. In other words, when the Greek hearers would, when the people would hear this original language, they would know this is the most inclusive word they could ever use. No person left out. Nobody would be exempt from getting these gifts. That's how powerfully that word would be articulated. So this gift is given and you receive it, and you receive it with ownership, and everyone gets it. Nobody is left out. But what is this gift? Actually, for the word for gift here is a word that you might know. It's called charisma. But charisma is not just about how boisterous you can be or how attractive you may be. Charisma in the Greek language means a gift of faith, or a gift of knowledge, or holiness, or virtue. In other words, the gift you have been given is just dipped in grace. It is a grace-given gift. We understand a lot that the idea of grace is an unmerited thing. You don't deserve grace, I don't deserve grace, and you don't deserve the gift you've been given through Christ, but he is giving it to you. That's the beauty of this picture. We like gifts to build us up or to make us feel better about ourselves, but the idea of God's gift is that it's grace-filled. It is something to build Christ up. So we've been given this gift. We've taken possession over it, every single one of us. No one is excluded. This gift that is dipping, that is dripping in grace, and the purpose, he says in verse 10, is to use them well to serve one another. This idea of serve is this Greek word, diakoneo. I love saying that word, diakoneo. It is this word that means fanatically dedicated to doing their job at the highest level possible. You don't get the gift of God and say, well, I'm just going to figure out how little I can give it. To you, to what is being written here by Peter, you put that gift in action and put it at the highest level possible. You want to use it to the very best of your ability. And when we do this, when we put all this together, we recognize what Peter is saying is there is no room to boast or glorify about yourself with the gifts that God has given you. There's no room even to be lazy or ignorant about how God has given you these gifts, because he is counting on you. Your unique stamp in this world is just, it's all about the talent and the gift that God has given you, and he's depending upon you to live it out. When he says to talk about this, like, we almost have to think about it in this terms, that when we are serving someone else with our gift, that we have to almost envision that we are serving Christ himself. I mean, can you imagine the person you're loving on to be Christ himself? Can you imagine the friend that you're reaching out to help, or the friend that has called just so that someone would listen to them, that you're listening and you're helping Christ himself? Can you imagine that person that is a little bit of extra grace required, or someone that you have to go above and beyond to serve on a regular basis, that they are Christ himself? You are serving them. This is how Paul says it in Colossians. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not human masters, since you know that you will all receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I don't know about you, but it does something inside of me when I think about the things that frustrate me. If I put Jesus in the equation, suddenly I get energized. Suddenly I want to do better. Suddenly I want to have a better sense of an attitude. I spent some time thinking about the different roles that we all play here. So yeah, I had some of you in my mind when I wrote some of this out, but it's just the way I was trying to think practically about how we use our gifts and talents. So some of us here, we actually have quite a few insurance agents, and I began to think about how do we put ourselves as agents who are selling things and whatever, how do we put ourselves on the other side of that contract? How do we make sure that the people we're serving get the best of us? I thought about those of you who travel in sales, and I was thinking about how we can use our gifts to see beyond the sale and actually build relationship with people that matters. I thought about those among us who are nurses and those who have to endure the complaints and the needy patients all the time. And I was thinking about how do we put our gifts into motion so that our patients get our best care, almost imagining that it's Jesus in that bed. I thought about the waiters and waitresses among us, that what if we could serve each table as if Jesus were sitting there? And we could imagine Jesus being a tipper or not. I think Jesus was a tipper. So we ought to be tippers too, right? But what if we could serve in such a way that it was Jesus? I thought about those of us who work for General Motors. I thought, what if we could build each part or assemble every vehicle as if our loved ones are getting behind that wheel? How much more passionate we would be about it. I thought about those of you who are students. Some of you are in elementary or middle or high school here today, or even college students. You know, you're going to discover that learning isn't always fun, and it's not all about books either. I think sometimes we get caught up in the fact that it's about books and about taking tests, but really it's about learning how to see a challenge and succeed. The best lesson you're going to learn in school is about how you face your fear, face that challenge, and you get over the top. Some of the other lessons you'll learn in school about how to use your gifts are even how to work with others and how to build the kingdom right there. Some of us are here today are retired, and I thought about, man, how could we leverage your newfound time, which you talk to any retired person, they'll say they got no time. But how do you leverage your time? How do you leverage your energy to serve others, to build the kingdom, to offer a listening ear, or even to offer moments of intercession that you've never had the time for before? How about some of us that are here that are stay-at-home moms or dads? How about when we fold that laundry or wash those dishes or clean those floors, that we do so with the spirit and an attitude of how blessed we are to have a family? I thought about the bankers and the lenders among us, that you would take time to see the greatest need of your client, that you would put yourself in their position and care for them in that way. I thought about the teachers that are here, that you would love those kids who aren't loved at home, that aren't cared for, that aren't read to at night, they aren't tucked in bed, they aren't made sure that they have the right clothes on or even a jacket when they walk out the door, that you would find ways to love them and give them the grace and the mercy they need. I thought about the accountants among us, that your gift, your special and unique gift of numbers, is the best way to protect the company you work for with the integrity that it needs. I thought about the CEOs, the CFOs, the COOs, you know, you business owners, the people that are among us, that you lead a company. Lead with a servant's heart, that as you use the gift that God has given you, you lead with people first and not the bottom line. I thought about the engineers among us, the people that look at things from the greatest, smallest detail, right? That you look at your skill set uniquely to make your product better so that the lives of the people around you are also better. I thought about those of you who have the gift of administration or office administrators, that you may thrive in the details, the little details, so that the people who are gifted to be with people can be freed up to do so, that you take care of some of those nitty-gritty things to empower others to use their gifts in ministry. Those are just some of the things that came to my mind as I was thinking about how do we put these gifts, these talents, into motion. And when we do, we can use this verse as our rally cry. Whatever you do, whatever I do, wherever I find myself, I work at it with all of my heart because it is Christ whom I'm serving. I thought about this as well. They got five things before we go. How can we maximize our gifts? How can we maximize the gifts and the talents that God has given us? There's going to be no PowerPoint for this. I'm just going to speak them. If you want to write them down, great. These kind of came to me last night, and I just wanted to insert them here real quick. First of all, if you want to maximize your gift, you need to learn about it. You need to learn about the spiritual gifts that are available to you, and you learn about them in Scripture. We've already read from Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Those are two places in Scripture that we talk about spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4 is another one. So if you want to write that down, you can look up those passages of Scripture. But more than where you're going to find a list of spiritual gifts, I challenge you to do this. As you're reading Scripture, look for the gifts that are being used in the context of those stories, in the context of those narratives. If you read the story of Mary and Martha, you're going to read about two uniquely gifted sisters. And you're going to see how the gifts play out in their life. You can read the words of Paul and see the various gifts and talents that he has. You can even read about the story of Christ and see how he utilizes many of the gifts as he relates to humanity. So as you're reading Scripture, look for the ways that God has empowered people. That's the first way I would think we could maximize our gift. Secondly, pray that God would reveal your talent, your gift to you clearly. This can happen as you evaluate what you enjoy, what you like to do in your free time. This can happen as you think about the things that you're good at. This can also happen as people come up to you and say complimentary words or less than complimentary words. Because when someone is saying something critical to you, maybe they're helping you see, that's not my gift, and you move on, right? Was we're listening to people, we're also learning about how God has wired us. So pray that God would reveal your talents and your gifts to you clearly. Third, seek ways to meet the needs of others. I mention this because what is the purpose of our gifts? To serve one another, right? And when you become attuned to say, I want to find ways to serve you today, God, I want to find ways to serve others today, you're going to find yourself consistently attracted to various things that people need. Maybe they need a listening ear. Maybe they need someone to be generous around them. Maybe they need someone to give them wisdom. You're going to begin to see as you become attuned to meeting the needs of others, your friends, the people you sit with at lunch or the people you get to work with, you're going to learn about your spiritual gift as you ask God to help you serve others. So learn about them in Scripture. Pray that God would reveal them to you. Seek ways to meet the needs of others. Fourth, look for the unique gifts in others. Sometimes we look at other people and we label them as valuable to us or not valuable. I like to be around them, they're annoying. We put all kinds of labels on everybody, right? What if we looked at every person we come in contact with and said, God has wired them uniquely to serve me. God has given them a gift that's unique to them to serve me. What is that? And as you begin to look at the gifts in other people, what is just kind of crazy what happens is, the table gets turned and you begin to see the gifts that God has also given you. It's a fascinating thing when you begin to look into the lives of others instead of yourself. So, Scripture, pray that God will reveal them. Seek ways to meet the needs of others. Look for the gifts in other people. And the last thing I would say might be the most important thing. When you discover your gifts, when you discover your talents, strive to use them in excellence. Strive to use them in excellence. Participate in your gift to the best of your ability. The worst thing we can do is be aware of the gift that God has given us and then just kind of use it marginally. If we are the hands and feet of Christ, if we are the eyes of Christ, if we are the voice of Christ, shouldn't we give that our very best attention? Shouldn't we want to work that out and give that our very best effort? I certainly hope you agree with me in that. So a couple questions as we close our time off. What are you going through life in a way that's kind of keeping God and his gifts and his talents to you kind of at arm's length? Are you going through life where you're saying, nah, I get it, I understand it, but I just really don't want God invading my personal space? I'm going to tell you, that's a real tragic way to go through life. When you're holding God at arm's length and you're saying, you know, I understand that God wants closer, he wants more of me, but I just really want my own personal space to be mine. What we do is we live a very limited life. And when we allow God close and when we allow his gifts and talents to be made known to us and we flourish in them, that's when God does something powerful in us. Are you interested in it? Are you willing to discover ways that you can glorify God? Then lean into the gifts and the talents he has given you. And for some of you here today, this means you need to begin your journey of grace. For some of you here today, it might mean that you need to stop holding God's gift of salvation at arm's length, and you need to welcome him in, because every scripture we read about the gift is that it comes after salvation, that the gift of God that he wants to empower in on you is magnified by the Spirit of God when it comes in after you've said, I have faith, I believe, I am a sinner, and I put my faith in Christ. Some of us here today have been just kind of living life trying to do all the right religious behavior, but we've not allowed Christ to really come into our life, into our heart, into our soul. So I just want to pray together as we close our time, and we're going to sing another song of consecration in just a moment. But would you just stand with me real quick, and let's just join together in prayer as we prepare to listen for God's voice. I pray, God, right now, that as we consider the various gifts and the various talents that you have offered us, the unique ways that you have used our parents and our grandparents and the generations before us to give us various talents and interests inside of us that are innate, things that we can't even really articulate because it's just who we are. As those things merge together with what your Spirit wants to offer us and give us this day, I pray, God, that you would empower us to be your hands and your feet, and that you would consecrate all of those actions where we want to live our talents and live our gifts out, that you would consecrate them so that your kingdom would be built, so that people would see you more clearly, and that you would receive all the glory. God, for those who are among us here today, who have just simply said, I'm really not interested in this God thing. I'm hoping, I am praying to you, God, because you're the only one that can do this, that you would begin to break down those walls that they've used to keep you out. That you, through the uniqueness of your Spirit's gentle voice inside of their soul today, would be wooing them. That you would be knocking on their heart's door, and that they would open up and say, yes, I know I've been holding you aside. I've been pushing you away, but I need a walk with Christ. May someone today, in the quietness of their own chair, in the quietness of their own prayer, God, say yes to you and begin this journey of a life filled with your Spirit's anointing. God, inhabit our words as we sing to you. May this song become our heart's prayer as we consider the ways that you want to use us in the world today.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.